If you love all things gardening, why not join us at our Spring Fair from the 3rd to the 5th of May at Bewley in Hampshire? You'll find everything you need to kickstart the season. Find out more at bbcgardenersworldfair.com. See you there!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to the BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast, brought to you by the team here at the magazine. Join us as we chat all things gardening with the nation's favourite experts.
Hello and welcome to this BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast on cooking delicious meals from homegrown harvests with me, Adam Frost. Nothing beats homegrown food. I love sowing seeds, popping some sets, get my onions to a great place, putting potatoes in trenches and then caring for it and tending it and getting it through the season to a point of harvest and then taking that indoors, cooking it and providing for my family. The first bit I'm not too bad at. The cooking, I'm okay, but I could be a whole lot better. So guess what? I have got myself a new best friend, and she is a real foodie on a different level, we're talking. And her name is?
Cassie Best from Good Food.
What this lady does not know about food is not worth knowing. And also, she makes it sound absolutely incredible. I'm sat here like a little sort of Labrador puppy waiting for his tea the moment you start talking about food. And on that note of food, what are we on today?
So today we're going to get everyone growing and cooking cabbages, the good, bad and the ugly. We're going to talk all things cabbages.
Cassie, you have just put in front of me possibly the sexiest cabbage I have ever seen. Hey?
It looks really good, doesn't it? Yeah. And smells incredible.
So if you stay with us in about 28 minutes, hopefully Cassie will tell you how to make... Honestly, I've got a cabbage in front of me that looks like a piece of art.
Masterpiece, isn't it?
You know, if I'd have gone back to being the kid, when I think probably most people, especially of my sort of age, were put off cabbage by being in the school queue at lunchtime where you're trying your plate and you're working your way along. And there's a lady that looks quite serious and a little bit frightened with her spoon saying, "Do you want some of this?" And you're looking at this sort of slightly slimy pile of stuff, you know, which is cabbage. But actually, as the years have gone on and I've grown it and I've played with it, and then again, I don't know, growing up, there was always cabbage was cabbage, but now, you know, kales have rocked up and that was never really a big thing when I was a youngster and broccolis, and they've all become a huge part of our lives. And even with my kids, broccoli, fine. I don't know about, you know, when they were growing up. Kales, I could always do something with. But there was something that, a bit of a mental block with a lot of people about cabbage. Mm. But all of those plants are incredibly good for you, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I mean, we all know that greens are really good for us. They're packed with iron, but they also provide vitamin K, folate. They're immune supportive with selenium. They're just full of nutrients. They're so, so good for us, and we should all be eating more greens. And added bonus, they are delicious. If you cook them properly, yeah, you know, you don't need to go down the sloppy, khaki cabbage route. I'm going to show you a couple of ways that you can cook your brassicas to make them really, really delicious.
Yeah. And I'd like to sit here and tell you how successful I am at growing them. But in a weird way, they're my nemesis. No, that's not 100% true. There's ways that I've found around it. But wherever I seem to have tried to grow, especially kale and cabbage, you know, I have had more cabbage white butterflies than you know. Mm. So they can be well and truly mullered.
Okay.
You know? But also, even the house that we're living in at the moment, because I've put a load out there, why is it that all the pigeons in the vicinity have decided to come and live on my roof?
They know you're growing the good stuff.
Exactly. And I'm organic as well. So all I ever do is I net things over. And it still seems that netting gets broken through at some point in the season.
Okay.
So what I end up doing is I plant outside the net so that I sort of sacrifice plants.
Mm-hmm.
But I also always end up growing more than what I need, knowing that I'm not going to get what I need. You know, I'm not going to get a perfect crop from them, you know. But they are a plant that, you know, especially if you look at something like, you know, the Italian kale, you know, which again, we grow a lot more of now, and you do see that one in the supermarkets. They look really beautiful.
Yeah.
So I have interplanted those in ornamental borders. They can look really quite sculptural. And interesting, because you've got, like, if you look at kales, there's a red kale called Red Boar.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I did one year is someone had said to me, the red vegetables don't get attacked so much. And I didn't, and I still to this day don't know exactly why. I think there's obviously something in the chemical makeup of the plant. But I tried the red kale and normal green kale, curly kales, you know. And I got away a lot more with the red kale.
Okay.
It was more successful. So that's another thing that I've done. I've started to grow a lot more kales, you know. But interestingly, what you realise is they're a plant. They react an awful lot to temperature. All those sort of veggies, I suppose, in a way. They'll take a certain amount of semi-shade. So if you've got a plot, you know, and some of it's in the sun, some of it's not, then, you know, that's one of the go-tos to fill those slightly shadier spots, not necessarily deep shade, but light shade, they'll deal with it, you know.
Okay.
So they're a good plant for that. Mm. I've grown them in containers, like I say, in the borders, work really well. So I said about that temperature level, I can remember, so the house before we're in now, and this is a good thing with veggies in general for people. We always talk about a good season, a bad season. And I've said to you a few times about not necessarily, you know, putting these plants out too early because of the wrong side of temperatures, you know, the cold and whatever. But understanding your veg garden is hugely important. And there'll be micro temperatures in your veg garden.
Okay.
You know? I think you're just about staying awake with me, aren't you?
No, I'm following.
It's sort of, you can see she's glazing over, like he's gone really deep horticulture on me now. It's like, can we just get to the cooking bit? Because it's like, bless, it was going ever so well.
Come on, teach me. I need to learn this stuff.
And I suppose it's the first time, really, that I've talked about understanding that, you know, the way the sun moves through. And the reason I'm doing it is because I planted kale against an east-facing wall, all right, coming out in a raised bed that I created. And why I'm telling you is because it was a stone wall. It had the sun hit it in the morning and then obviously then went off it, right? Well, the stone wall must have sucked up that heat because as I planted coming away from this wall, the kale back close to the wall got well over a metre. And as it came away from the wall, it slowly got smaller.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when you are veg garden, and it says in the book, hot sunny space, or it says semi-shade, really, really watch that space, you know, through a 12-month period. If you're growing something like that in a pot, fine, because you can tease it in and out.
Yeah, that's interesting that you can grow them in pots, because I've never attempted to grow any, you know, any cabbages or kales, because I've always assumed they take up loads of space.
Well,
you see these big plants, and I've always thought I can't fit that in my garden, so I wouldn't attempt it. But that's really interesting.
Yeah, and something to be fair, like a kale, you could put a kale in a summer pot, in a bigger summer pot, and you could interplant it with other things, and you'll get a decent couple of feeds out of it,
okay.
You know, and they'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
That's the good thing as well. And one of the reasons I just leave mine is because our winters have changed so much. It can still be growing. I've had those sort of plants still growing really well in December, you know.
Okay.
So it's just not you know, they say it's not as fine cut as it used to be. So my school experience of those cabbages, what was yours? What was your first sort of experience of the, let's call it the cabbage?
Mine was similar, actually. Yeah. We'd always have cabbage with a roast dinner on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And my mum, she still cooks it the same way to this day. She cooks it and cooks it, and then she chops it up with the spoon until it's, you know, really overcooked and not quite pleasant. But I remember once when she was experimenting and she tried a new recipe, and she did like a stuffed cabbage, and she stuffed it with rice and meat. I think she'd got the recipe off of a neighbour or something, and it was, I don't know where the dish comes from, but it felt quite Middle Eastern kind of. I think it had some dill with it, and it was really good.
Wow.
And I was quite young, and I remember thinking, oh, I think I like cabbage actually. This is great.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show, it all comes down to the cooking again, doesn't it? There's lots of vegetables out there that people think they don't like the Brussels sprout, you know.
Yeah.
Why do people hate a Brussels sprout? It's so delicious if you cook it properly.
I love a Brussels sprout.
It's so good.
On that note, do you put a little cross in the end or not?
No, I don't. But I prefer to half my Brussels sprouts.
Ah, so you're doing it anyway.
So actually, with all of these kinds of veg, I would favour roasting them or a quick kind of stir fry cooking method over boiling.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't need to put a cross in the bottom anyway. And then I think when you cut them in half, you've got more surface area for crispy bits.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's all about the crispy bits, isn't it?
It is all about the crispy bits. I like that. Yeah, that's another one of my takeaways. You're right, actually. But that was another one of my nan jobs. You know, like the run of beans.
Yeah.
You can put the crosses in there.
Yeah.
And there's me, Mr. Sado here. That was the exciting thing to do. I can put the crosses. She's given me a knife and everything.
Then did she boil them for half an hour?
Then she boiled it. Yeah. It was longer than half an hour. Seriously, mate. They were like mush.
Yeah.
They were literally like mush. Mm. And, you know, the best thing about, and even my mother, bless her, you know, that early veg was probably when it got cooked again the following day in a bubble and squeak and different like that. Then they tasted all right.
Then
because
they tasted good.
They picked up all those different flavours.
You get the crispy bits.
Oh, you get the crispy bits. You do get the crispy bits. I mean, as far as sort of growing, let's get you started. Because you grow much in a way of...
Nothing.
Not really.
I haven't
tapped into this world at all.
Not at all. No, I'm a newbie. So
you're a newbie.
Let's start at the beginning.
So I think for you this year, what I want you to do is I just want you to try a couple in the borders.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, have a look. So look at the curly kales, especially like, the red one that I was talking about, or, you know, the nice Italians. And don't necessarily think about growing a load. You say you can even buy little strips of them. You'll get six plants in a strip. So you don't have to go through the whole seed thing.
Yeah.
You can start yourself off. And because they are one plant that takes up a bit of room. And I would say go and get yourself a strip. Find some little spaces in your garden.
Mm.
Yeah. And work them into the spaces.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
You can do that.
Yeah.
And what I've found with that, the one plant that I love growing slightly more ornamentally, point one, they look good. But as I said, they're my nemesis. The one time I get away with them a little bit more is if I interplant them with a lot of flowers and fruit and different bits and pieces, they seem to stay semi-hidden.
Okay.
So my success rate goes up.
Oh.
Yeah?
Right, okay.
But if you're going to grow them out in the garden, I suppose two ways. The old-fashioned way, to be fair, would be that you would sow direct, probably really springtime, but you would make like a seed bed.
Mm-hmm.
So you normally sow away from the main veg bed and you would put them, I suppose, a depth of about just shy of a couple of centimetres. You make your little reel, you sow them out, obviously pre-water it down. And then when these plants grow, they would get to, I don't know, you can still see them on the markets every now and then. You buy a little group of brassicas, things like that, you know, kales and whatever, wrapped up in an elastic band with the little roots hanging out.
Okay.
You can still buy them like that. And that was the old-fashioned way. So, you know, Grandad would do that. And then what he'd do, once they all got going, he would then start to dig them up once they got to a decent size and then replant them. So at that point, when you're replanting them, you know, they want, I suppose, they want rich soil, well drained, but as I said, you know, they'll take an element of shade. But the weird thing about more of the brassica type stuff is they like a firm soil, which is the one of the plants that throws your mind a little bit. Because so when you go to sort of planting out, and I'm talking, you know, you'll plant these things a couple of foot apart.
Yeah.
And for ease of netting, what I've started doing is I've started putting them in a block. Rather than doing a long run of them, mm-hmm. I've put them in a block and then I make a framework, you know. But when you plant them, you're literally, when you put them in the ground, I put them slightly deeper and I ram my hand as hard as I can. Mm. It goes against everything yeah. that you feel you should do. Because yeah. if you think about it, all of those plants, you know, when we're talking the kales and a lot of them are top heavy, you know, and they're bulky. Mm. And when you look at the root, you know, you've got that single root coming down with little fine bits coming yeah. off. You know, the moment they start rocking, they're coming out of the ground. Mm. So they love that sort of firmness. So I'll plant them away, say well-manured soil, and then all I do really is put a net around. So that would be, you know, the old-fashioned way of doing it. Or, you know, what you can do is you can get them going a little bit early. So you can get them going early by just sowing some seeds in. You've probably seen little modular trays.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could do that on a windowsill, mm-hmm. do it in a greenhouse. And I would grow those on, and then I would put them, I suppose, into a little pot that's probably about 8 centimetres, mm-hmm. something like that. I would then grow them on. I would then harden them off, and I would plant them out, you know, probably late spring, going into May, that sort of thing. And then, you know, you're away. And also I think with these veggies, because things have changed so much, they're not a veg I worry too much about following the season.
Okay.
You know, again, it will tell you in packets, sow here, plant here. You know, there's autumn stuff that you can plant out, there's spring stuff that you can plant out. And if you think about the world of brassicas now, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. Yeah. So what about kales for you? What sort of, give us a nice, simple thing to do with a kale.
I like roasting kale. I mean, I've mentioned that I think roasting any of these kind of brassicas is really good because it just brings out that little kind of bitter note and it just makes the flavours sing, really. I really like to make kale crisps. The kids love kale crisps. Yeah.
So how do you do that?
So you just break the leaves off. You don't want the tough stems. Rip them into small pieces, toss them some oil and a bit of salt. You can add some cumin or some spices. And then, again, pop them in the air fryer or the oven. Cook them at quite a low temperature because they burn quite easily. But then within like a couple of minutes, they're like crispy seaweed. And they're really delicious. And my kids will eat a whole bag of that, like a whole big bowl of kale crisps they will eat. And it amazes me every time. And I think you're going to catch on soon that I'm giving you kale, aren't you?
Yeah,
but they love it. So I really like doing that. And then, you know, that sprinkled over a salad, it has that like umami seaweed kind of flavour and a bit of crunch. So that's really good and a good way to use up lots of it. Through pasta, kale's really good. And a bit of chilli and garlic. It's also really nice in those kind of robust Italian stews, and like a sausage and bean stew with kale through there, or even like an Italian style soup, like a minestrone kind of style soup with loads of veggies, cavolo nero, a nice tomatoey broth, maybe some small pasta shapes in there, a good drizzle of olive oil on
top.
You're
doing it again.
I tell you, mate,
you've got me. I'm hooked. I'm sort of, you know, I'm sort of your new fan, which is sort of, you know. So yeah, Cassie, yeah, she's you know, my new best friend. She's, you know, she's my go-to about food, and you know,
I just can't help it.
You just got to keep your phone on at weekends, mate.
Yeah.
That's all. Because when I'm in the kitchen, you know, I'll be phoning you up. I'm just doing this. What did you say I had to do?
Anytime. So it's really versatile, and like I said, I love cavolo nero. I'm really into it at the moment, and you can make really gorgeous sauces out of it as well. If you just blanch it quite easily and then blitz it up, blanch it with a garlic clove, a couple of garlic cloves, and then pop it into your blender with the softened garlic cloves, plenty of olive oil, salt and pepper, a bit of pecorino or parmesan, and whiz that up, and you get the most amazing, vibrant green sauce that you can toss through pasta or turn it into a soup with a bit of stock. And the colour of it is just amazing. And it's just, you know, it's doing you so much good by eating it just from looking at that vibrant colour. So I'd really like to grow cavolo nero. That's the thing. I think I'm going to stick that in some pots, and, like you say.
And I think pots are, like I say, you know, through a border.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of friends now that are experimenting a lot more with those. I think we forget how beautiful some of those plants Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think we sort of, too much of the time, we like, and I don't know why we do it, this idea of like, well, vegetables and fruit, you know, that goes there.
Mm.
And, you know, ornamentals,
yeah,
that goes there. And I don't know whether, in my head, whether it was a Victorian thing, but it's sort of, you know, you have the veg garden because it's away from the house,
yeah,
and it's untidy and this. But no, I think now the idea of interplanting is hugely,
and in the kitchen
important
as well, you know,
yeah,
depending on the season, I'll always have a big bowl of something on the kitchen table instead of flowers, you know, whether it's squashes and pumpkins or beautiful tomatoes, whatever it might be, I'll always have that on the kitchen table and they look gorgeous.
Yeah,
so
they do
can,
look gorgeous,
you know,
yeah,
can
they
replace
do
flowers, can't
no,
it?
You're right. I think you're definitely right. And I think as well with a lot of this stuff, you know, this sort of fear factor of growing, we don't have to do it from seed. Seed is the cheapest way of doing it. But, you know, you think about that kale, that can cost a few quid.
Yeah, yeah, it's not cheap, is it?
No, it's not. And if you've got, you know, 4 or 5, 6 plants dotted through your borders, you've saved yourself quite a few bob through the season, you know. And I think that idea of looking at plants, you know, what about broccoli? What about broccoli? And sort of interestingly, you know, we talked a little bit about sprouts. All my sprouts that I'm growing now at home are all the red sprouts. And the one thing that I'm, and I can't remember what they call them, they were selling them on my local market, but as the sprouts grow, you get these sort of, they're like sprouts that sprout.
Right? Okay.
Sort of, and you can tidy them up before you get the sort of the cleaner lot of sprouts. It's going to bug me because I can't remember the name of it. Someone will remember the name of it now. So I've got sprouts, dark sprouts growing in the garden, same sort of planting conditions, decent soil, you know, well-drained, sunny conditions, but firming into the ground. Mm. Red ones, really, really, really good. Changes Christmas dinner.
You don't see red sprouts in shops, do you?
I love it. I love them. But also say these first lots of shoots. So when it gets into sort of that build-up going into the winter and Christmas and whatever, I'm taking all these off. And they taste beautiful. They don't take any time to cook at all.
Yeah, wow.
They taste really irony, as if they're putting that iron into your body, you know? So I grow quite a lot of that. Broccoli, I struggle a little bit sort of full on broccoli. So I tend to go a bit more sort of sprouting, you know, the more sprouting broccoli. And I cut that early and use that with the leaves. But again, same growing conditions. So if I look at the sort of sprouts first, you know, you said about cutting them in half, giving them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Any other dishes, bits and pieces we can do with the sprouts?
Oh, okay. So sprouts. A lot of people only eat sprouts at Christmas, and that's such a shame because they are a gorgeous, you know, winter vegetable and something we should be eating when they're in season, throughout the season. And there's loads of different ways you can cook them. These kind of vegetables, they've got like a nice kind of bitter edge to them. So they balance out quite nicely with anything sweet.
Yeah.
So in, you know, a stir fry, if you stir fry sprouts with a bit of honey and soy and chili, a bit of garlic, really, really delicious.
Yeah.
Of course, they work really nicely with bacon and chestnuts and sage and all those kind of classic Christmassy flavours. But also in a gratin, you know, at Christmas, I often make like a shredded Brussels sprout, cheesy, creamy gratin with breadcrumbs on top. And that is really nice alongside your Christmas dinner to have something creamy alongside, you know, everything else that's going on. So that's one of my favourite ways to cook them as well. And just really nice with a roast chicken, you know, doesn't have to be for Christmas. Don't save sprouts for Christmas.
No, I think you're
sprouts
right.
Sprouts are for all year round.
There was one of a sort of a, what was it, a Jamie Oliver recipe or something like that. You know, one of his sort of nice go-tos. And it was a Christmas one that I did, it was like sprouts and shallots. But the last minute what you did is you literally used like a sherry or a white wine vinegar, good quality one, give it all a really good dousing and then more or less smash them.
Oh, nice.
Oh, they sucked up that flavour.
Yeah.
And they were incredible. Mm. So I think, and my lot loved those. So if you said to them, you know, sprouts. So I suppose sometimes you can put that twist on them just to turn them
You can take them in so many different directions. Put a bit of spice with it, put a bit of vinegar with it, like you say, and really experiment. I think sometimes we get stuck in doing something the same way over and over again, don't we? And thinking like you've got a go-to way of cooking sprouts. But on the Good Food website, there are so many recipes.
Yeah,
give it a go and see what you come up with.
And what about broccoli? What about broccoli? What are we going to do with broccoli? Because to be fair, broccoli seems to, it seems to be a veg that kids don't shy away from.
Yeah, I think, I've always sold it as mini trees. I think that does the trick, doesn't it?
Mini trees.
Yeah, they feel like giants eating their little bits of broccoli. Yeah, my kids love broccoli. And again, there's loads of ways to cook it. The longer stem broccoli that you mentioned is really fashionable now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I really like good old-fashioned broccoli as well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people waste the stalk of a big head of broccoli, which is such a shame because I think that's one of the most delicious parts.
Well, to be honest, I think that's where most of the taste is.
Yeah, I would agree. So definitely don't chuck that away. Chop it up nice and, you know, finely and chuck it into a stir fry. And it's delicious. It's almost got like a bit of crunch as if, you know, like a water chestnut or something. It adds a bit of texture to a stir fry. So never throw that away. And you can cut them with long stems as well. So they look almost like a long stem broccoli if you cut down the stem. Yeah. Don't chuck it. But in terms of what to do with it, again, I love it roasted. All the little floret flowers, you know, get really crispy and delicious. I love that. And then just toss through a salad or, again, with, you know, like a nice cheesy, creamy sauce baked into a gratin. It's delicious. And it goes well with blue cheese as well. Broccoli and blue cheese soup.
Yeah, he's nodding here. He's nodding.
You like the blue cheese.
I love my blue cheese,
Those flavours just seem to pair really, really well together. So I love a classic broccoli and blue cheese soup. That's a really good way to cook it.
That would be a nice way to think as well about, you know, the veggies, writing about not just growing veggies, but what they pair well with.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it? And again, you know, when you're starting to pick your menu and work out what you're going to grow in your garden, you know, work it as well. Another way of thinking about it is working it around the other things that you like.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're talking, if I like the spices or if I like the, you know, the sours of the vinegars or if I like, you know, the sort of the cheeses that you say and growing vegetables that suit
your palate. Yeah, because they do all have such different flavour profiles, don't they? Like so often we just stick a bit of veg on the side of the plate
and
it's like the star of the show is the meat. And hopefully I'm showcasing today with this dish that I've brought along that actually the veg can be the star. And in an age where lots of us are trying to eat less meat, I think we should really embrace that. So the dish I've brought along for you today is a roasted Savoy cabbage. So we've cut it into wedges and roasted it. And I wish everyone at home could see this every layer of leaf is just crispy and just golden and delicious.
See, this is what she does. She's doing it again. It's crispy and it's golden and it's delicious. And everything Cassie is saying is totally and utterly true. As I said, you have made a cabbage look, that is the sexiest cabbage I've ever seen.
It is pretty sexy.
And I'm not even sure that's PC, if I'm allowed to call a cabbage sexy. But I'm really not worried. I'm not worried. I'm just going to go out there and just do it. That is some sexy cabbage.
It's a good looking cabbage. But why not make it the star of the show?
Yeah.
And, you know, you could do the same with broccoli, as lots of people now make a head of cauliflower the star of the show.
Yeah,
you know, rolls
right.
the whole cauliflower.
Yeah.
But you can do that with broccoli as well.
Yeah.
Cover it in like a nice spiced butter, roast it off in the oven, and it's a real showstopper centrepiece for the table.
Yeah.
I can see you want to dive into this.
I do, but go on. No, but I need to know everything else about it.
No,
I keep like, I've got one eye on you and I've got one eye on that just in case somebody takes it away. But go on. So tell me how that's all put together, because there's a lovely, that looks, that even what we've got on top, that little topping dressing, whatever it is looks good as well.
Okay,
go on.
So there's a few components to this dish,
go
and
on.
The recipe's on the Good Food website. It's tomatoey lentils on the base.
Yeah.
So you've got some red lentils cooked down in a nice spiced tomatoey sauce. And then we've roasted off the wedges of Savoy quite simply. They've got some spices through them as well. And then on top, because when you're cooking veg, it's really nice to think about the textures as well.
Yeah.
So we've got soft on the bottom, crispy, crunchy, collapsing cabbage in the middle, and then we've got another bit of crunch to go on the top, which is an olive breadcrumb, pan grattato. So it's an olive kind of crisped up breadcrumbs that we're going to sprinkle over the top just for a bit of extra flavour.
So how do you do that? How's that?
So it's just done in a frying pan, bit of olive oil, fry off the breadcrumbs, stir through, I think it's got some thyme in there, stir off the breadcrumbs, stir through some olives, chopped olives, and the olives are bringing that really nice savoury, umami flavour as well. So we're building flavours as well. It's not just one level. There's loads of flavour and texture in there. And it just looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it does look absolutely incredible.
I mean, I would cook that for a veggie, vegan dinner party, but there's no doubt everyone around the table, vegan or not, would enjoy that.
You'd get stuck into that, wouldn't
you? Yeah.
Yeah, go on. I think the problem is it looks that good that I'm too scared to cut it.
Right, I'm gonna dish you some up.
You cut it, and then while you're dishing it up, I suppose the idea of summarising what we're... Oh, my. I can't do two things at once. I'm just watching at the moment.
It's going to be a messy one.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm gone, people.
Right, here we go.
I'm
take gone. Some extra
Look
crispy
at that.
Bits.
I am. I'm going to try this. Okay. So my nemesis, you know, I always struggle away, as I've said, growing these things because of the pidgeys and the cabbage whites and whatever. But actually the tomatoes, that sort of, the colours look great as well, don't they?
They do, don't they?
Here we go.
Hopefully you'll find it's miles away from that cabbage you had in your school days.
Mm. If the school cook had dished that up, I would have played my part.
What a way to showcase a cabbage. So good. I'm going to keep going back.
Hopefully I'm making all the right sounds. But again, texture.
Mm.
So it's nice to eat.
Mm. You get a bit of lemon as well in the breadcrumbs.
That is absolutely stunning.
Really good.
So I suppose really when you think about growing them, not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a go in the borders to start with. You know, something like the lovely Italian kale or a nice curly kale, something like that. Or even, you know, they look good. Hide them away. They grow up through things. Brilliant. I suppose the key things, love good soil. We'll take a little bit of shade, you know, a bit of semi-shade. When you're planting most of those plants, it's about firm ground, really bashing them in, give them support, you know, so they might need a cane or something like that, you know. And a lot of the time, you know, because I'm organic, it's all about netting them over, protecting them. I grow, as I said, more than what I need because I know that I'm always giving some of the wildlife, but that's not the end of the world either. And then, yeah, to be fair, even if you grew cabbages, right, and you only got one and you did that with it,
it'd be worth
that
it.
Would be worth growing cabbages for. Honestly, wow. So as per normal, yeah, we better leave these people. And then I'm going to finish this cabbage.
So go and cook the cabbages.
Exactly. See you soon. Thanks, mate. Thank you for listening to this BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast with me, Adam Frost, and of course, Cassie Best. For more information on the recipes we've discussed today, go to bbcgoodfood.com.